Hi, Daniel. Thanks for your time. Really nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
So tell us a little bit about the story about Second Bite. It is certainly, we're used to talking to transport companies that have a more traditional business model, but your operation, a very different kettle of fish.
It is, absolutely. So Second Bite exists to supply fresh and nutritious food to community food programs that are supporting people experiencing disadvantage. So that disadvantage could be people that are experiencing homelessness, family violence, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, new arrivals, school breakfast programs, youth and family programs. So unfortunately, there's a lot of disadvantage out in Australia. So approximately about 4 million people live on or below the poverty line. So there is a tremendous amount of need out there, and Second Bite rescues fresh and nutritious food that is still good to eat, that would normally end up in landfill, and it delivers it free of charge to these charities that are supporting people who are doing it tough.
There's not only, as you say, a huge need. You know, there are a lot of people out there who are doing it tough, but there's almost also so much wastage in the food industry, isn't there? So it's kind of like solving two issues in one go.
Absolutely, there is. Yeah, approximately about $8 billion worth of food is wasted from paddock to plate every year in Australia. So as a country, we sort of tend to produce around 25 to 40% more than what's actually required from our farm gate. So knowing that food is going to some really good places and certainly helping people out, it is a good story that Second Bite can be a part of.
So I guess it's a twofold operation in that you have to collect the food. Do you then repackage it? How does that work in the middle? Get it ready for the end consumer.
Yeah, so Second Bite has two main programs. One's our direct delivery model, which operates in all the metropolitan areas and capital cities of Australia. So that involves our warehouses and our vans that will collect and aggregate that product back from our predominantly major national partner, which is Coles Supermarkets. So Coles will provide any of the food that is not in a saleable condition. It gets aggregated back at our warehouse and then repurposed into sort of more agency-sized orders. So an agency will request a certain kilo amount of mixed fruit and vegetables, bakery items, meat, and dairy, and then that's then put aside for the agencies to either collect direct from our warehouse or our vans will deliver direct to site. Our second program is Community Connect, where Second Bite facilitates the donor and agency relationship. So the agency will collect directly from a retailer and predominantly, again, Coles, and then they will take that food directly back to their program and support their food program through that.
You know, it sounds like there'd certainly be some big challenges there, especially around the perishable food and the like. You're running a fleet of 27 vehicles. I guess that would be almost a business in its own, just keeping those vehicles in the right places and making sure that they're working as effectively as possible.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And it's one of those things that each of our state managers have worked really hard on, trying to maximise the efficiencies of what our vehicles are doing. In terms of value for money, Second Bite, is dollar for dollar the best value proposition in the food rescue sector, where last year we rescued over 11 million kilos of nutritious food nationally, and that provided 22 million healthy meals, approximately about 60,000 meals a day. So for every dollar that's invested into Second Bite, we can provide 4 meals to people in need.
That's incredible. 11 million kilos. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
Can you tell us a little bit about how the fleet actually works? Do you have vehicles that are dedicated to the pickup operations and other vehicles dedicated to delivery? Do they work across different areas, that type of thing?
Most of our vehicles will operate across different areas, both in collections and deliveries. It depends on what food is needing to go out in what locations. So from a metropolitan area, our trucks predominantly will rely on collecting all of our bulk product. So that'll be direct from farm gate, DCs, packing sheds, and the larger retail kind of outlets where there's bulk product available in terms of pallets or bins, whereas our vans concentrate more so on the retail back of house level, so accessing the stores and the smaller retailers where it may end up being crates or boxes as opposed to pallets. So the fleet does work fairly succinctly around what's available for collection, but also in terms of being able to redistribute food, particularly in some of those more regional areas. It's better for us to be able to maximise what can get out to the community. So again, that's where our truck will take out the bulk of the product to those more regional centres.
Okay. And you've invested in telematics. How has that changed the operation? How has it improved and helped?
Yeah, it's been a massive improvement, and it's something that our state managers are really heavily reliant upon now since we've had the installation of the program into the vehicles. So first and foremost, it's from an occ health and safety perspective. So, you know, we know where our vehicles and our drivers are. So if there's any particular issue out on the road, we have visibility on that. So we can contact our drivers direct to make sure that everything's okay, particularly if a vehicle's been stationary for an extended period of time. It also gives us maximum efficiency in terms of how our vehicles are being driven as well, and what kind of fuel efficiency we're getting from those vehicles. But it also enables us to be able to map out our routes more effectively, you know, particularly using the replay side of things, where we can see which way vehicles are going, and if there's anything specific that we can chase up with our drivers directly, we have it's almost instantaneous data that we can access and sit down and speak with our driving cohort to make sure that they're operating the fleet in a safe and efficient manner, which is fantastic. So for us, it's paid for itself in the fact that, you know, we are able to identify where our fleet is at all times and have that real-time data so that we can make effective decisions as things come up.
I always ask the question of people who have had telematics put in into their vehicles, their fleet. Has it created more work? Do you find that, you know, it's a case of, you know, you really have to put time in to get the most out of it? You know, how does it work back at the office? Is it an easy system?
Yeah, look, initially we were concerned that there might be a little bit of work, but certainly the team at Verizon have been fantastic in terms of being able to upload a lot of the data that we've provided for them. With all of our fleet. So there was initial time outlay for our guys to make sure that the information was accurate that we were providing, but the support that we get from Verizon particularly it has been tremendous, and they've been able to upload most of that data for us. So for us now, it's a case of sitting down, setting the report, and the report will come through to us, you know, daily, weekly, monthly, whichever we set. So all of that data is captured, so it's just a matter of time then for the guys to be able to read through the reports that we require to be spat out at any duration of time. So there really isn't additional workload at all. And the fact that it's providing us with some very accurate data means that it's actually saved us money over the course of, and we've had it pretty much for the last 5 months in our vehicles. And as I said, it's already paid for itself and the efficiencies that we've been able to pick up just by being able to review that data in real time.
It's certainly a peace of mind proposition, isn't it? It's a technology that everybody who I talk to who has it says, you know, I can't imagine life without it now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that I guess there was a few interested people initially when we first started talking about looking at putting in fleet tracking and kind of once people got the understanding of just how accurate the data is and what it can actually provide, and it's not there to kind of act as a big brother kind of, you know, thing where your manager's just looking at the computer watching every single screen of every single vehicle. And once people actually figure out that it's around driving those efficiencies and maximising the dollars, and in particular being a charity, you know, we have to be very mindful about how we do spend our money as it comes in, and that we are making sure that we're maximising our vehicles and our staff outputs to get maximum food out to people who need it. So so once the staffing group were able to understand the importance of having the tracking in the vehicles and what it's actually doing in terms of providing those additional efficiencies, it's been a dream. And you're right, we couldn't imagine operating without it.
Fantastic, Daniel. Sounds like you're really impressed. And what's the future hold for Second Bite? More expansion across Australia? You know, how big is this thing going to get?
Yeah, look, so we're in every capital city at the moment. We're just about to take over the Perth operation and rebrand it Second Bite. So we had another partner group that was operating that for us. So look, at the moment we're targeting 30 million kilos by the end of 2019-20 financial year. So we have some pretty you know, high numbers to try and achieve. But our target is to try and get 8 meals to every dollar. So we're looking at trying to triple our output over the course of the next 3 years. And by doing that, obviously feeding more people. So that's what it's all about for us, making sure that people have access to fresh and nutritious food that's free in particular. That's one of our very, very big points, that we want to make sure that the food is available to people who are doing it tough and they don't have to pay for it. So for us, it's about feeding as many people as possible and making sure that there's access to fresh and nutritious food in many different parts of the country.